Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you.
Hope your day is starting off well.
It's not as windy, so there's that. Well, I guess the wind's going to pick up again a little bit later on in the day, but it was nice to not get blown off the street as I was trying to walk to the car this morning. It's still breezy, but it's just nowhere near. Well, no, it is. I was trying to be positive about it, but no, the wind just hasn't stopped. Well, anyway, we've got a lot that we can discuss this morning, and I look forward to taking your phone calls at 508-996-0500. Also, your app chats and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Yesterday, there was a lot of great discussion on Chris's show about some of these local elections that are coming up. And if you are a resident of Dartmouth, of Fairhaven, of Westport, where some of these elections are happening in the next couple of weeks, you want to check out the South Coast Now podcast. Because Chris has been interviewing all the candidates. He's trying to give everybody kind of a last round here this week. But you can catch all of the podcasts that he has done on WBSM.com, on the WBSM app. Those are probably the easiest ways to get them. But you can also get them wherever you get your podcasts from. So if you use Spotify, if you use Apple Podcasts, if you use Google Podcasts, then you should be able to find those. And whatever podcast, and that's for every WBSM podcast, if you find that whatever service you use, that your favorite WBSM podcast gets a little bit behind, please let me know, because I don't see all the services. So I don't know if one isn't updating. Like, I don't have an iPhone. So I depend on all of you out there to let me know. Hey, the iPhone, you know, the Apple podcast isn't updating for a show. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes it gets hung up and we just have the IT team send out a refresh and everything gets all caught up. But, you know, I appreciate it when you can let me know if there's an issue. But the conversations that he's been having with these candidates kind of show what the direction will be of these towns, of these school boards going forward in the immediate and in the long-term future. So those are very important. If you've been missing any of them, I can't recommend enough checking out the podcast. But here in the city, as we know, the big conversation over the last couple of weeks has been about residency. And the residency requirement for Unit C employees was on the table.
that Mayor Mitchell was looking to amend that so that they can hire people to fill some of these managerial roles in city government that haven't been filled. They've upped the pay or made it easier to start people at a higher rate of pay. But they're still having a hang up with getting good qualified candidates because of the residency requirement and the 10% pay reduction if they don't live in the city. So what's the point of being able to give somebody a higher salary to start if that difference is going to be negated by the fact that they don't live in the city because maybe they're from Dartmouth or Lakeville or Middleborough or Wareham and they've already purchased a home and they love their home and they love the schools that their kids are in and they want to bring their talents to help the city of New Bedford, but they don't want to have to relocate their family to do so. But in order to make this change, Mayor Mitchell needs to have the city council sign off on it. The city council, most of the councilors seem to be in favor of just abolishing the residency requirement completely. So in the spirit of that, Mayor Mitchell has been working with the union employees to make the necessary adjustments to sign the memorandums of understanding because they're all under collective bargaining rules. So that, you know, they can't make permanent changes to the residency until their next contract negotiation, but they can sign MOAs that say things like, okay, AFSCME union, we know that we require you to live in the city for the duration of your employment, but here is a signed piece of paper from the administration saying we will not enforce that. And now they're making the same change for police and firefighters. Police already were able to get their residency requirement cut down from 10 years to 5 years. The mayor was willing to offer the fire union the same 5 years as the police department. But because of what happened in the last appointments and briefings meeting. You think I'm confused? Imagine what it must be like to be somebody who actually attends all those meetings. But the discussion was you need to get rid. Well, no, it was the appointments and briefings meeting where they discussed it. Anyway, the conversation was, in order for us to move forward with this, we need this gone altogether. And so what you had last night was a discussion about removing this for everybody. Moving past the residency requirement so that they can start hiring some of these folks. And you know what? Moving that residency requirement away from the police and fire will probably help with filling some of those positions as well. Fire department hasn't really been struggling like the police department has. But we had a regular caller who called in here and said, I would love to be somebody who works for the police or the fire department in New Bedford, but I have roots in Fairhaven. I live in Fairhaven now. From New Bedford originally, but I live in Fairhaven. And that residency requirement would keep that person from wanting to take that job on. But now it looks like we're going to be moving past that. However, as Phil pointed out in the news, and as Frank Mulligan points out in his Standard Times piece this morning, and as Chris was reporting yesterday, there's a state law that requires police and firefighters to live within 15 miles of the municipality in which they work. So police and firefighters will be able to live in some of the surrounding communities, but they're not going to be able to, you know, go too far out. You know, a firefighter or a police officer can't live in Easton. And because I think that's more than 15 miles. So there's the state law that cannot be ignored, cannot be. There's no loophole there. They have to follow that. But this is going to be a big step toward helping to fill these positions. Now the real question becomes, though, if you remove this final barrier and still have trouble filling those positions, well, then what's the problem? I mean, I still think you're going to be dealing with fighting the private sector versus public work. And for some people, you know, public work just doesn't appeal to them. But I've got to think you're going to be able to find people who are willing to fill these positions for the pay that's being offered. And now without this residency requirement hanging over their heads, I think you're going to see those positions fill up relatively fast. I know some people have called in and said, well, there should be a residency requirement. But I can guarantee you 5 years from now, when these positions are filled, when these folks are doing the job, you're not going to care about whether or not they live in the city or not. You're just going to care about whether they do a good job. And I think the idea of requiring somebody to live somewhere is, in my opinion, I wouldn't take a job where they said you have to live here to work here. Even if I already lived there, I would have an issue with it. I might take the job in that situation, but I would always be worried, well, what happens if I get the opportunity to move? What happens if my great aunt, who owns a house in Middleborough, says to me, I'm going to go move into a, and I don't have a great aunt who lives in Middleborough. I'm just making up a situation, so I don't want anybody to think I'm wishing ill on a family member. This isn't true. But what if my great aunt lives in Middleborough and says, I'm going into an assisted living community, but I don't want to give up my home. You can live in it, Tim, rent free. I'm supposed to turn that down because of the job that I have for a commute that'll be 10 minutes more each way? Come on. So I'm glad that this is moving forward to being eliminated and we can kind of put it behind us in this hiring process. So that's one big bit of news that we can discuss this morning. The other, Fun 107's Gazelle has the report at WBSM.com if you want to read it. But we heard rumblings about this on Saturday when we were over at Hunger Heroes outside of Aldi. But now it is something that has reached the point where presentations are being made in municipal meetings. But Chick-fil-A is targeting a Dartmouth location. During the planning board meeting last night, Chick-fil-A presented its initial plan, its initial site review plan, to move into the former Sears Auto Center site. My guess is that they're going to level that building. You're not going to take that building that's existing there and turn that into a Chick-fil-A. No, no, no. That building is very dilapidated. But they're going to tear that down. They're going to build a Chick-fil-A. And then the question becomes, what will the impact of that be on traffic? Because that's already a busy intersection right next to it. Will this just add more traffic? And it'd be interesting to see if there's any changes to the actual infrastructure of the parking lot and how they have cars enter and exit, because Taco Bell works because it is right near the entrance. So you can come in and out from Taco Bell without encountering really mall traffic for the most part. Chick-fil-A is a little bit more over to the side. But we'll see how it shakes out. If you've ever seen a Chick-fil-A, they're prone to getting significant lines of traffic, significant drive-through traffic. So how much of that will impact the rest of the mall? And the traffic coming in off Fawns Corner Road and State Road. So these are the questions moving forward, but the bottom line is Chick-fil-A wants to go in there. And for people who are fans of Chick-fil-A, that's a big deal, especially because for a long time, we were told that it was one of those places that has the very strategic layout of, you know, we like to have a certain amount of distance between our stores, between our locations. But then that seemed to have gone by the wayside when they had one in Somerset and then one in, is it Somerset? And then also one in Fall River. You know, we're like, these are, or is Swansea? Seekonk? I don't know. I don't go to Chick-fil-A. Just overhyped to me. I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong, but I don't need to wait in that line. And also, I'm not a fan of their politics either, but the question of how far is, you know, too close doesn't seem to be an issue. So that means that if there is going to be one coming into Dartmouth, well, maybe the rumors of there being one going into Wareham eventually come true. The problem is everything that they're building in Wareham is happening on the west side of town around the new Walmart. Say new, I think it's been open for like 10 years now, but around the Walmart that's over there and all of the stores that have been developing around Wareham Crossing. And that is relatively close to the Plymouth location. But the east side of town could certainly use something. The east side of town has prime locations. They've just redone the Cranberry Highway. You know, that part of town needs Chick-fil-A, needs Sonic, needs things that will bring people out that way or have them come off the highway when they're heading toward the Cape. I can't believe the impact that losing Walmart on that side of town has actually had. But anyway, Dartmouth, you will soon be able to get your Chick-fil-A sauce probably within the next couple of years if all goes well. Are you excited about that? 508-996-0500. I'm going to take my first break of the morning and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Of course, that song is kind of forgotten off that Permanent Vacation album. You know, everybody remembers Dude Looks Like a Lady, huge hit. Couple of others, what, Love in an Elevator. But that one always stands out to me because It was the opening song of the Revolution X video game. The Aerosmith video game, which was not as good on the home console system as it was in the arcade, but still a lot of fun. You know, I see a lot of folks now that are getting these arcade home systems, like, and there's different versions. You can get the full stand-up cabinet. There's full stand-up cabinets that have multiple games in them. There's also these, like, tabletop cabinets that people get for Frogger and Pac-Man and things like that. But if I could have, like, my choice of what arcade games I would put in a home arcade, the Revolution X arcade game would be there, along with the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game and the Simpsons arcade game, and then the Guns N' Roses pinball machine. That would be my home arcade. The rest of it, you know, maybe one of those tabletop, the table game Pac-Man, you know, where like the screen was in the table. Maybe one of those. I'm more nostalgic for that from my UMass Dartmouth days than I am from the 80s. All right, 508-996-0500. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day from Phil Devitt.
A major bridge collapses overnight in Baltimore. Jury selection starts soon in Trump's hush money case. And an actor who shined in sci-fi dies at 91.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Rescue crews remain on the scene of a major disaster in Baltimore after a container ship struck the 1.6-mile-long Francis Scott Key Bridge. Living not far from the bridge is Kylie, who described what happened overnight.
My room was shaking. I sat up real fast, held onto my bed. I thought it was an earthquake happening.
A massive collapse followed as the ship then caught fire and sank. This all around 1:30 a.m. Possibly 20 vehicles are reported to have fallen into the water. While there has been no word yet on deaths or injuries, the incident is being treated as a mass casualty event. There will be no delay in former President Trump's hush money criminal case. A judge rejected Trump's request for an additional delay and said jury selection will start April 15th. The case is related to alleged hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Trump's lawyers argued that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg was late in turning over documents related to key witnesses and that they needed more time, but the judge said Bragg was not at fault. A judge is dismissing a lawsuit from Elon Musk against a hate speech oversight group. The owner of X alleged in his case that the Center for Countering Digital Hate illegally gathered data from the social media platform to report on the spread of hate speech and misinformation online. Judge Charles Breyer ruled that the lawsuit sought to, quote, punish the CZDH. The North Carolina fight against removing downtown Asheville's Confederate statue is over. Everything but the base of the Vance Monument was taken down in 2021.
Vance was a slave owner, opposed rights for blacks, and firmly believe that blacks' place was in servitude.
Since 1898, the Confederate statue has stood in Pack Square Plaza. A historical preservation group filed a lawsuit but lost following the North Carolina Supreme Court's ruling on Friday rejecting the lawsuit. The mayor telling a local TV station that the space would be used to celebrate inclusivity. The Los Angeles and Miami homes of rapper and businessman Sean Diddy Combs have been raided by Homeland Security over reported allegations of sex trafficking. At least two of Diddy's sons were detained outside the L.A. home. The investigation is being handled by Homeland and may be tied to two recent lawsuits, one which accused Diddy of sex trafficking and the other dealing with sex with minors. And actor Ron Harper, most known for his roles in the primetime series Planet of the Apes and Land of the Lost, has died at the age of 91. His daughter tells The Hollywood Reporter he passed away at his home in California last Thursday.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
Red Sox beat the Texas Rangers in spring training last night 9-2. They play again today just after 2 o'clock. The Celtics lost to the Hawks last night 120-118. They'll try to beat Atlanta again on Thursday. The Bruins are in Florida to play the Panthers tonight at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's overcast, chilly, and breezy today on the South Coast. Light showers possible, a high of 41 degrees, and getting down to a low of 38 tonight. Mainly cloudy skies on tap again for Wednesday, with afternoon and evening rain likely. More showers in store for us Thursday and Friday before a sunnier Easter weekend. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Reach out, touch faith.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and chime in. We also can take your app chat messages and your open line voicemails. By the way, thank you to everybody who who sent me photos of the Ecto-1 visiting the AMC Theater in Dartmouth over the weekend for the premiere weekend of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. There was a couple different ones. Some of the new, the ones that people make themselves out of, like the Toyotas and things like that, the RAV4s. But there was also, you know, an original Cadillac hearse one. So I'm just taking a look at a story. And here we go again. So I haven't read it in full yet. I haven't read all the details. But apparently, the Lizzie Borden house is once again looking for the courts to stop its neighbor, Miss Lizzie's Coffee, from doing business. Now, this was something that I thought was settled. This was something that the last time I was at Miss Lizzie's and I was talking with Joe about it, Joe Pereira, he thought was settled. He was told, from what he told me, he was told that they were just going to find a way to go forward. That they weren't going to be looking to cause any more issues. They were just going to go forward. But according to this report from Dan Medeiros and the Herald News, U.S. Ghost Adventures, the company that owns the Lizzie Borden house, filed a brief with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the First Circuit on Monday, asking the appeals court to reverse a federal district court judge's decision, denying them a preliminary injunction against the coffee shop while the inn pursues a lawsuit against the cafe. Now, if you remember when they applied for that injunction, the judge wrote a very strongly worded decision as to why not to grant that preliminary injunction. And basically, because it would have been the same judge that would have heard the lawsuit, it was believed that this was dead in the water, that this judge was making it clear he saw no merit to a potential lawsuit in denying the injunction. And that he wasn't buying the claim that calling the business next door Miss Lizzie's Coffee was somehow creating some kind of confusion. Nor was it violating trademarks. And I talked ad nauseum about the specific trademarks. Again, I'm not a trademark lawyer. I talked to a trademark lawyer. The trademark lawyer that I spoke to said there might have been a way for the Lizzie Borden house to make the claim. But also when that trademark lawyer read the judge's decision, the trademark lawyer said, I understand why the judge said what he said. But now Miss Lizzie's Coffee is claiming that, the Lizzie Borden house is claiming that Miss Lizzie's Coffee even caused confusion with Fall River officials. And in the brief, and Dan Medeiros' quote from the brief here, this is one of the quotes that's in the brief. Many consumers are not only actually confused, but also understandably angry and upset about being deceived by this false association. Okay, no, I doubt that. I sincerely doubt anybody is angry from the customer base. The only person that's angry about this is the guy that owns U.S. Ghost Adventures. No customer is angry and upset about the existence of Miss Lizzie's Coffee. As a double whammy, while Miss Lizzie continues to sell more coffee and wrongfully profit from its false association, Ghost Adventures continues to be blamed by deceived consumers and irreparably harmed. No, the irreparable harm isn't coming from what Miss Lizzie's is doing. It's coming from your repeated attempts to shut down Miss Lizzie's and the public blowback that you are receiving from it. You've got to learn to separate the difference between what another business is doing to you and what you are doing to yourself. And of course, you know, Dan gets into, you know, did U.S. Ghost Adventures already lose the case? No, they didn't. It just talks about the difference between the injunction and what was going on. But this is the part, and caller, hang on, we'll get to you in just a moment. Let me get to the part. The USGA's brief includes multiple testimonials from tour guides and customers alleging that people thought the two businesses were related. In some case, tour guides testified customers wanting to take the tour were upset about having to dump out coffee they'd bought next door, thinking it was from the same business. Okay, well, I can see that happening, but also, I can. What are you upset about? They don't let you take coffee onto the tour. It's a historic building. What are you upset about? They also claim that someone from the Fall River Inspectional Services Department contacted them on June 27th, complaining about the fact that there was a sign in the window saying that Miss Lizzie's was coming soon but had no other information. And they were blaming the Lizzie Borden house, telling them they can't open this place up without giving the city more details. But meanwhile, Joe Pereira, the owner of Miss Lizzie's Coffee, posted this morning his business certificate that was filed on June 1st. So the city already had his business certificate under his name, under the name of Miss Lizzie's Coffee, on June 1st. So was the city of Fall River confused about it? Well, maybe this person who handled all this was confused and didn't bother to actually look up anything. But there's no blowback on the Lizzie Borden house as a result of that. I don't know, just all the negative publicity you got before, and you're just going to wade right back into that. 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Hey, what's going on, Tim?
How you doing?
Not bad. So I heard the Chick-fil-A, I saw that yesterday, actually, the Chick-fil-A is coming to that spot. It's weird, because I actually was talking to my wife, we drove by, I was like, I wonder when the heck somebody's going to actually pop in and redo that old Sears Tire building, because it's been sitting there for a long, long time. I'm surprised that nothing's been built there.
We were saying the same thing during the Hunger Heroes food drop. We were like, if they're not going to have a tenant in there, at least get rid of it, because it's an eyesore and it looks like it's, you know, taking up valuable space.
Yeah. And You know, I think Chick-fil-A is going to do fantastic there. It's a really good location. You have two ways in, two ways out. You know, I don't think it's going to really cause too much problems in regards to, like, traffic, just because you can actually, you know, come in from Ponce Corner Road and then leave up, you know, the Dartmouth Mall Road there and then dump onto Route 6 and go east or west.
Right.
Either way.
I would say I'd be more concerned, and this might sound a little weird, but if you think about it, you'll get what I mean. I would be more concerned if that area was kind of ground level with Ponce Corner Road and State Road. You know, then I might be a little bit more concerned about what would happen with traffic. But the fact that it's uphill, I think, will help alleviate some of those traffic concerns. If you follow what I'm saying.
Nope. I don't follow what you're saying whatsoever.
So if it was...
People don't want to go uphill?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, like, people would be more concerned if it was something that was, like, within eyesight and they could see it. You know what I mean? So they're coming down the road and they might see the drive-through line or something. Or
okay.
But the fact that it is uphill kind of takes it away from being at that intersection.
So yeah, all right. So what you're saying is being uphill will actually reduce the amount of business that it does.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it will reduce the perception that it's a traffic issue.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I get it. All right, I understand. Yeah, I think it's going to be really good because I think the only other one is in Fall River. So now you're going to have a lot of people from New Bedford coming in. What I find interesting is KFC was supposed to go pretty much right across the street a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and from my understanding,
the road in Route 6.
KFC has not abandoned its plan to try to come to Dartmouth. So, you know, you might end up getting both chicken giants.
Nah, I don't think so. I think if Chick-fil-A is able to get, you know, shovels in the ground and stop building, or get the permits to actually go ahead and do it, I think that's when KFC will be like, you know what, never mind.
Nah, I haven't spoken to them in a while, but in my conversations with the KFC people, I asked that question. I said, would a Chick-fil-A preclude you from wanting to come into town? And they feel like they've got different product. And, you know, in a way, they're right. You know, KFC is giving you, you know, chicken in a variety of ways. Chick-fil-A is giving you chicken sandwiches and nuggets.
That's true. I've honestly never been to a Chick-fil-A, so I wouldn't even know what they had. But I have been to KFC, and KFC is bomb, and I really like it.
If you get the right KFC, unfortunately, they're not consistent. But yeah, Chick-fil-A is chicken sandwiches, chicken nuggets. I think they have some salads. They do have salads because I went one time and I was given a salad for free because it was Saturday night. And they said, do you want this salad? Because we can't keep it overnight because we're closed on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. But yeah, they have a couple of different things. They have really good shakes. People love the shakes that they have there. So it's a place that will, like you said, it will do a phenomenal amount of business just because of the way people feel about Chick-fil-A. I know people that would eat it every day if they could.
Yeah. It's definitely it's got a customer base. It's got like a consistent like community that they've built, like a diehard community that goes whenever they're open, they go right to it. And I think this will help with obviously the tenants. I think the Dartmouth Mall, this is not going to add to the tax base in Dartmouth just because that building's already being paid for. Because it's owned by the Dartmouth Mall, it's already being taxed, so it's actually not going to add to the tax base at all.
Well, it will. It'll bring in meals tax revenue.
Yeah. No, I'm saying property tax. Talking in regards to property tax, it won't bring anything in to the town. But what it will bring in is revenue stream into the mall. You know, we'll see the Dartmouth Mall continue to flourish and provide jobs and all that stuff, which I think is a really good thing for the area. But yeah, and I was shocked.
And I spent the weekend at the Dartmouth Mall and was really kind of paying attention to, you know, what level of business it was doing, and seeing on a Sunday afternoon on a day that was relatively decent weather, you know, the mall was still pretty vibrant. And certainly that end of the mall has had a resurgence with Aldi, with Ulta, with Burlington. So I think you're going to see more businesses coming into, you know, into that area. And if a store does close out in the mall, I know people are worried about some of these stores that are closing down. There'll be another tenant looking to move in.
No, 100%, 100%. And I think it's transitioning more from like an inside mall to more of a hybrid where you have that front-facing store where you can just go in and out. You don't have to literally go into the store, into the mall, and walk around to get to your favorite store to what you want to do. I think this is more of a convenience thing. We got Ulta face, you know, being a face out, and then you have a different one facing out. You have Burlington, and then you have Aldi's. And then you even have Five Below that does the same thing. So they can open up at whatever time they want, even without the mall being open. So I think the transition, because then you have even further down, you had Men's Warehouse at one point. They were facing out where the typical mall layout is you always have to, they always force the customer to go into the mall in order to shop. So you can actually get residual business to the other stores. Now they're going more of a convenience store, a convenience way, where you can kind of park in front of your favorite store, go in and out. So I think it helps the outlook for, you know, the business model for different malls now.
You know,
I think it's going more the model like Fall River has in like where the old Harbor Mall used to be.
You know who it didn't help was me when I was in the mall Sunday looking for the entrance inside the mall to get into Buffalo Wild Wings. Whoops, got to go outside. I got to hold you there, but...
Yeah, that, you know... I get what you say. That's funny.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Have a good one.
I got to take a break here, but we'll take more calls. 508-996-0500. Yeah, I was like walking down that, because I haven't been down that area like where Toy Vault is. I hadn't been down there in a while. And I was like, oh, you must be able to walk in right after the Verizon store. And then I was like, no, the Verizon store is one of those outside-facing stores like he was just mentioning. And I was like, I guess I got to go out and around. But anyway, all right, I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Okay, well, it's only Tuesday. The week has only just begun, and I could already use some bourbon therapy. How about you? Well, bourbon therapy is coming to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. It's coming up on Saturday, and it's going to be a great event because the crew from Keeping It Neat will be there for a special in-house tasting with various vendors, and I've seen on the Stevie's Wine and Spirits Instagram page, they've been putting up in their story some of the bourbons that you can expect to find at this special bourbon therapy tasting on Saturday. But what's really cool about what's going on is they're going to be having a raffle with a chance to purchase one of four special reserve bottles, including some old Rip Van Winkle. Yeah. So basically what happens is you go in and you can buy a ticket for $20, and all proceeds from the raffle benefit the Fairhaven Animal Shelter. Then four winners will be drawn during the bourbon therapy event on Saturday. And the people who are selected will have an opportunity to buy one of those special reserve bottles. And if you buy a bottle of Wheatley vodka, you automatically get a raffle ticket included. So you'll have lots of chances to enter, lots of chances to hopefully win and get a chance to buy one of those special reserve bottles and put it on your shelf or crack it open right there. If you want to do that, I'd be happy to try a sip, you know, if you're looking for somebody to give you a second opinion on it, happy to help you out. But come on down to the Bourbon Therapy event on Saturday at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven and get your raffle tickets now to be able to purchase one of four special reserve bottles with all the proceeds benefiting the Fairhaven Animal Shelter. See you Saturday and visit Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven for more details. Make sure you follow them on Facebook and Instagram. All right, that's going to wrap up this hour, but we will take your calls.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.